सर्वधर्मान् परित्यज्य मामेकं शरणं व्रज.
The miseries of material existence and the most hopeless conditions of life is the best possible opportunity to turn to God.
You're listening to Bare Knuckle Bhakti Shorties on the Bhakti Recovery Podcast with Jiva G, coming at you every Monday with a little spiritual sum. Hey everyone, happy Monday. I'd love to talk about, you know, lately this week, it's been, you know, I've had a lot of contact with, you know, people who have had a lot of trauma surrounding, you know, religious communities and growing up in religious communities, and you know, the challenges that they face, and people who have been through a lot of trauma in their life and approach religious communities and have a tough time navigating through that, and it's so understandable, and it makes so much sense. You know, I want to talk about people who are raised in and it doesn't matter what religion, but in any religion. Perhaps anyone who's raised in that religion, who doesn't really know anything else, and they've been kind of taught how to pray to God, when to pray to God, in which way they should pray to God, the practices that they do, what schools they go to, what friends they have, what friends they keep, you know, etc. I think you get the point. And I think often, and I'm not saying anything against that. I'm saying that that has its pros and it has its cons. And, you know, some people take to it and flourish and love it. And, you know, some kids grow up and stay hard and true in their faith. And it really clicks and resonates with them. And they're doing, you know, what they're not just doing it because they learned it. They're doing it because their heart is there. And then there are others who question, you know, they question because they might have a different feeling or a different way of expressing themselves with God. And it that becomes a problem when you continue living in a religious community. And the problem is not about God. The problem is getting through all of the paraphernalia around the heart, actually. And I think sometimes through learning all of these disciplines and doing all of this stuff and all of these things that you're taught, I think one can forget about the love in the heart, the love of God, that simple, untouchable love that is God. And I find it, in the last week, I've talked to a few people who have really experienced that, and talking with them and realizing that they never really had a chance to fully kind of peel back everything that they've learned and just try and connect to their higher power, to God, in a very simplistic, loving way, without all of the accoutrements and the learned, you know, stuff that they've learned in order to do it. I think that's where it becomes difficult or challenging, especially to navigate through that. You know, one of my really, really good friends, she was raised in a religious community, and we were talking the other day. Actually, I'm going to get her on the podcast. I'm not going to mention her name because I don't want to blow anyone's anonymity, but I think I'm going to get her on the podcast to talk about that and how it was for her being raised in this religious community and how it is now and you know, her challenges of, you know, it being your life and your whole family is still in this religious community. And, you know, I think she has her deep faith in God, But she's not on board with everything that she's been taught. And there have been a lot of mistakes, just like there are mistakes in every other community. But the ones in the religious communities are very confusing, extra confusing. You know, and someone who has been traumatized in their lives without a religious community, just in their family community or in their, you know, in their educational communities or their neighborhoods, people who have been traumatized there also find it really hard when they enter, especially a spiritual community, you know, with hierarchies and so many rules and regulations and all of that stuff. And I think it's a very, very delicate process, you know. And I encourage everyone to tread so very carefully. You know, I myself tread very carefully in entering any kind of like system. I've been seriously damaged from systems. There's a great expression that the only good system is a sound system. And that's a funny joke. It's not totally entirely true, but yeah. It's been so difficult for me personally to navigate through the spiritual community that I have in a very confident and sober way. There are a lot of things that I am confronted with if I don't have the issues that I have, the past that I've had and the trust issues that I have, I don't know if it would be such a problem, because I think I'm assuming that somebody who's a very confident person and knows exactly, you know, really, really a lot of good, healthy self-esteem. I'm not talking about ego. I'm talking about self-esteem and confident about their beliefs and what they believe and what they feel is right and what they don't feel is right, can enter any kind of system and kind of navigate that probably a lot easier. So, you know, my thirst for the relationship that I want to have with God, through God, with others, keeps me in keeps me in this space of wanting, of not running away. I do not run away. I'm here. I'm watching tentatively. I'm constantly, and it sounds really tiring, and it is, but I'm watching and I'm checking myself and I'm reflecting, and it's wild watching myself react to certain things that, you know, that trigger me or that make me feel uncomfortable. And I don't just like walk away from it and say, oh, I don't want to deal with this, you know. What I do though is say, now why does this do that? Or why am I having trouble with this person? What is it about this, or this principle, or this, you know, ritual? What is it that triggers me about that? And I truly believe now that when I go through life, it's like just a mirror of my own reflections. Does that make sense? Wait, a mirror of my own reflections. I don't mean reflective of mirrors. I mean, I don't mean the physical reflection. I'm talking about my inner reflections. So it is a mirror of those. I'm mirroring like everything and everyone that I see is only through the filter of my experiences, my hopes, my fears, my happiness, my joy, my beliefs, my faith, my lack of faith, my sobriety, what step I'm on, my headspace, the company I keep. I mean, it has every minute of every day has so many facets.
And I don't know about you guys, but I am like painfully aware of those facets constantly. And I think that's why for so many years I just had to numb that by doing drugs or, you know, in other ways. And now I'm trying to simplify that and concentrate on the simple true love of God. That's kind of all I want. There's not a lot of ritual involved. There's not a lot of anything involved. Although I'm here in this community, that there's a lot of that going on, and I really enjoy it and I love it. But I always come back to that one simple thing, you know. And I think last week I talked about in the shorty about how I arrive at the temple and what are my prayers are like. And I'm continuing that. And I really love it because it keeps everything real simple. And, you know, the longer you stay in any kind of, you know, I don't know about unbonafide because I've never been in an unbonafide community, but I'm just talking about the ones that I've been. You know, the longer I stay in it, the more knowledgeable I become. And I haven't white-knuckled, I don't white-knuckle it anymore because I don't, you know, I've got time. And as long as I'm moving forward, then it's all good. I don't want to be, you know, sprinting through this. I would like to be at a good, steady marathon pace. So what I was getting at was that upon entering that temple, you know, you see there are all of these deities, and each and every one of those deities have their own mood and their own way and their own representative of, it's its own mood and a representative of God. It is God. And although I'm not there yet to see it that way, but it teaches me, in knowing, having all of this, like, you know, knowledge, like just like book knowledge, it teaches me the most simple thing. You know, when I first enter and I see the Panchatattva and I see, you know, Lord Chaitanya's mercy, and I pray for that. I pray for mercy, not just for mercy for me. I pray for mercy for everybody. I pray that that God would have mercy on me, and as I would have mercy on others, and they would have mercy on me, that it is a reciprocal, ever-flowing, like, mercy fest with the whole world, you know? And then I go over to Radhamadava and the gopis to learn and to pray about love, and, you know, it's a certain setting. And having that, you know, in front of me, I mean, it's huge. The deities in Mayapur are gigantic. You know, I think they're seven or 8 feet tall, and brass. They're ginormous. It's breathtaking. And bowing in front of them and trying to open my heart for what love is and true love and to understand what that is, just to get one drop of what love is in its simplest form. It's so simple, but it's just like not easy. None of it is easy because we got Maya doing her job. And going to Lord Nrisingadev and asking him to protect me, protect everybody. Protect everybody from themselves. We don't need protection from other people. We need to protect ourselves from ourselves. That's the most spiritually detrimental thing. The most spiritually detrimental thing in my life is me, my brain. That's what's detrimental to my spiritual growth, is my head. It's just my head. It's nothing else. It's not you or him or her. Of course, there are people who will influence it and scratch those parts of my brain that are maybe dormant and then, you know, trigger me and blah, 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 blah. But like I was saying before, that it's basically, you know, a mirror image of everything. Every person that triggers me, everything that triggers me, it's just me. It's just me in my thoughts. It's not them. You can be the biggest jerk in the world, But if you say something and it doesn't affect me, then it doesn't matter. I mean, someone just came up to me and be like, oh my God, you're so, you've got huge feet and a huge nose and you're skinny as a toothpick. And they try to say it in a really, you know, negative way. And I would just be like, yeah, whatever, dude. I mean, it wouldn't bother me because it doesn't even, you know, it's not the truth. So have mercy. Show me mercy. Let me know what mercy is, you know. And when I go to Prabhupada's Murti, and I ask how I can serve, please let me serve. Please let me stay a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And please let me do that in a humble way. So those are my thoughts navigating through all of this. And I'm really hoping that my friend, XYZ, super secret friend, will do the interview. And we'll talk about how it was for her growing up in a religious community in this, you know, and what challenges she faces, you know, in life, and how she navigates through that. Still believing in God and maybe sometimes wavering, but how that is for her. So thanks for listening, guys. I hope I made some sort of sense, and I hope you guys enjoyed this shorty. It was a little longer than the last ones. I had a little bit more to say. I was kind of on a flow, so thanks for listening. And I'll see you on Thursday with an interview. Hari Bol. Ciao for now. Thanks for listening. I hope you like the Monday Shorties. Don't forget to check out our full-length episodes on Thursdays. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Peace out. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam
sharanam vraja. The miseries of material existence and the most hopeless conditions of life is the best possible opportunity to turn to God.